Reiner Schock from TSN joins us. Schocker, how you doing?
I'm good today, buddy. How are you doing?
Well, I'm outstanding, man. I love talking to David Conte. He just has always a really unique perspective on drafting, and he thinks video at times they overdo it. Too much technical stuff now in the game of hockey, and because there's not as much separating players anymore, and that's why it makes it harder to be a scout. Because you look right now, the guys drafted number 6, 7, like they could literally be on a scale of 100, a half a point separating at the age of 18, and that could go either way very quickly when the time they're 21.
Yeah, for sure. I think you just gotta. There's no substitute for just getting knowledgeable hockey eyes on guys in different situations and watching them play and kind of going with a bit of a gut instinct on guys. I think that's maybe what separates the good scouts from the bad scouts, is they get gut feelings and they follow them. And that's how maybe you stumble across some good finds.
New York Islanders trading for the rights to Dan Boyle, similar to what they did with Halak, and then they got Halak signed to a 4-year contract. If they sign Dan Boyle for, I'm guessing, a 2, maybe a 3-year deal at his age, we know they don't have their first rounder next year. They're doing everything in their power to ensure that's not going to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, no kidding, eh? And I'm not sure. I wonder in those situations if the team would have already spoken, been given permission to speak with the agent and work out a deal ahead of time, or if it's flat out they have no idea Dan Boyle's interest level in signing with the New York Islanders. You know what I mean? But I suppose that's why it's a conditional pick. If he doesn't sign, then obviously it's probably not going to be worth much. So you just wonder what the dynamic there is in terms of what the light, if this is a flyer they're taking, are they kind of going, hey, let's see? Or do they know? Yeah, they pretty much know they'll be able to get something done.
Well, no, I think it's a fifth rounder automatically. It becomes conditional that if he signs, that it's a fourth rounder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's either if he signs, it's a fourth.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is the Sharks knew they were going to move this player's rights.
Yep.
And I wonder if teams that go to them say, look, do we have permission to speak with the player and the agent before we make this trade? Or would the San Jose Sharks just say, no, you can't. You take your chances. And so if a team's willing to pay something to take a chance at getting an opportunity to sign him, I wonder how that dynamic works, if there would be a little back channeling or some talk ahead of time before that deal is made. Because if you give up a fifth-round draft pick for him and you don't sign him, well, you just threw away a draft pick for nothing. But I just wonder if, because the trade was made, that there's a real good chance he signs there, you know?
Yeah, probably. And that helps the goal and the defense. Because in the Eastern Conference, I don't know how much they would have to improve to be a competitive team there next year.
Yeah, well, they have some good pieces, and the back end is kind of, they lost, was it McDonald that went to Philadelphia?
Mm-hmm.
They've got a real good young player in Hamonic who they just locked up. He's a real up-and-coming, real solid young defenseman. Some of their draft picks haven't worked out very good, though. Like Calvin DeHaan kind of hasn't really panned out how they thought he would. I think he was a pretty high draft pick as well. So they need some veteran guys with some experience back there. And with the front-end talent that they have, you never know what they might be able to pull off.
Reiner Schock joins us. Last night, that was the game. If the Rangers were going to make this a series, they had to win. The Kings were not playing like the Kings. Like, man, they gave up a lot of chances, even though they ended up out shooting the Rangers by a significant margin in that game. You know, the Rangers, I thought, were in good positions, never even got shotaways on some of their best chances. But I don't see L.A. play nearly as bad as that, and I'm not sure the Rangers can play much better.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rangers can maybe try and capitalize on some of their opportunities. They were close to winning that game. And if you're the Rangers, you're walking out of that building last night, disappointed you lost. But I think they probably feel pretty confident about their ability. I mean, that third period, they were dominated and they were outshot. But they hung in there. They didn't give anything up. And I thought that for the defensive side of the game that was supposed to be their strength, I thought they did pretty good. Like, I thought the Ranger defensemen did a decent job of handling the LA forwards. I did all night long. I thought they did. And I don't know. I don't view that as their, what will be their only chance this series to have won a game. I think the Rangers showed last night that they can be very much in this series. Maybe it was a slow start for LA. Maybe they'll only build and get better from here. I'm not sure, but I thought the Rangers showed well for themselves.
Yeah, see, I'm not saying they can't win a game. I'm saying if they were going to win this series, last night was the game, because it's going to get harder for them now. They got to win four of the next six. You know what I'm saying? Like last night, I don't see LA playing as bad as they did last night the remainder of the series. That's why I think it's extremely hard.
You think LA has shown their worst, right?
But then, yes.
And I disagree with you a little bit about New York not being able to play any better or not being able to. I mean, I think New York will bring what they brought last night most games. I don't think New York's going to play any worse. I think that they played pretty darn well, and I think they can bring that, because it's just a good, solid defensive game, and they try and capitalize on their opportunities. I honestly thought the Rangers looked really good last night, and it wasn't necessarily LA shot themselves in the foot with some turnovers, and early they were nervous, but really after 10 minutes in or so, I thought that both teams had settled in, and I thought the Rangers up until the third period, so for the kind of middle portion of the game there, I thought they were playing them pretty even. And the goaltending battle is going to be great to watch. They should feel really confident what they got out of Lundqvist, what they got out of their decor. I thought that Ryan McDonagh was just fantastic last night. And as good as Drew Doughty was for the Rangers, McDonagh was fantastic. So I don't know that the Rangers need to be feeling too down after the way that they were one goal away from winning that thing.
Yeah, but they also got outshot by 16.
Yeah, but the attempts weren't necessarily that lopsided, right? I mean, I think the attempts were pretty close to 50-50.
52,
so in terms of
52-48. I don't include block shots. So 52-48.
Yeah. So I guess depending on how you feel about the possession stats, it wasn't as lopsided. Everybody who watched the third period knows LA dominated that third period. But the Rangers hung in there. And so I think that New York has a lot to feel confident about after that game, as disappointed as they should be that one got away from them, because that was one that, boy, they would have made life easier on themselves had they been able to get that and guarantee themselves a split. Well, the pressure's off for the next game if had they won last night.
Any reason why Drew Doughty's not a Norris Trophy finalist? Like, is there a better defenseman in the NHL?
Yeah. He's in the conversation for best defenseman in the NHL. He absolutely is.
Maybe best player in the league. He's unreal.
Yeah, no, and the fact that his game elevates like this on the Stanley Cup at the Stanley Cup final, at the Olympics, when it matters the most, his game is as good as it gets. It's pretty amazing. And what I loved about his game last night was that horrible error he made early, just kind of an arrogant move, trying a little bit too hard, and the toe drag that got chipped away for the breakaway. I mean, that's a tough, tough mistake to make. And Drew Doughty kind of knew he owed his team one, and he played like he knew he owed his team one. And he didn't let it beat him down. He didn't let the cockiness go away. Even on the goal, there's another toe drag around a defender's stick through his legs and then snipes. But he knew he owed his team back for a tough mistake. He got it back. He was fantastic. I mean, that goal he scored, the skill level he showed, the patience was unbelievable.
Well, I love the fact that there's a guy who makes a mistake, doesn't impact him, because the game's about mistakes. And I find, and the thing I loved the best about it was, you know what? People say, yeah, it's a mistake, and you move on. It doesn't get crucified by it, because if people don't want the best players in the game to try stuff, then don't expect them to make mistakes. Because, of course, there'll never be any mistakes, and the game will be boring as hell. I didn't have a problem. He tried it. It's Drew Doughty. And the guest part was he tried it again a few more times in the game. That was awesome.
I know, and that's the thing. So you look at, say, P.K. Subban, where his game was through really the last half of the season. He would have done something like that and then been stapled to the bench. It took quite a while for P.K. to get that kind of confidence from his head coach. Really, until once the playoffs started, that's when P.K. finally got a similar type of leash. And you could see it in his game. You could see the confidence level in his game change. He knew if he made mistakes, he was going to get back out there. He earned that rope, but he did that by being smarter. He dialed it in just enough, and his coach knew that there might be mistakes there, but that overall he could trust him. Well, Doughty and Sutter are now operating at that clip and have been for a while. He makes that kind of a mistake, and Sutter still ends up playing him almost 27 minutes, probably would have wanted him to have played more. So he can make those mistakes and not have to worry about it. He's sort of matured through that phase where when he makes mistakes, he might turn around and make more. Whereas he just seemed to dial it in, and his game just got better and better after that mistake.
And it looks like the L.A. Kings, potentially, Philip Andrews is contemplating selling the team after the Stanley Cup final. So we'll find out very quickly, Ryan, if indeed an NHL team is worth similar to what the L.A. Clippers were, because that's what Sir Gary Bettman foolishly said yesterday. So we might find out.
What was the Clippers' number?
$2 billion. He said there was, quote, a lot of NHL teams that are worth that or more. More!
Really?
Oh, man, I was chuckling. But
I don't know what he was thinking there.
So that's Philip Andrews said, hey, the Clippers sold for $2 billion. I wonder what I could sell the Kings for. Why did think about it. If the Kings win again, they've won 2 in 3 years, you are selling at the high time. Right, everybody in LA is love. This could be a smart move by Anschutz if he's going to sell now. And if there was that many people willing to buy the Clippers in LA, I'm guessing there's a similar amount of people that would want to buy the Kings because they're at the same facility. They've won 2 championships in the last 3 years. They're pretty hot right now.
Oh yeah, and they're the posh thing in LA. I mean, once the playoffs start, all the pretty people start coming out, and. Yeah, so I'll be interested to see what the value is. I don't think it's going to be $2 billion, though. I think that's a little lofty for an NHL team.
Yeah, I would think so. Shogger, have yourself a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, buddy. Enjoy the hockey.